Today's shiur is Masechta Ksuvos Daf Yud Ches. We will begin on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph on the top line, the Lisni. Our Mishnah had taught us the concept of a Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter. The case that the Mishnah gave was where one, at least according to Rashi's explanation, approached someone and said, this field that is ostensibly mine was originally your father's and I bought it from him. And the Mishnah taught us that the person is believed to say that because Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter, it was he who notified this man that this field belonged to his father, and therefore he's also believed to say that I bought it from him. And as we learned in the previous daf, the Gemara wanted to see why did the Mishnah have to specifically choose that as the case to teach us Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter. The Gemara attempted a number of cases. The Gemara showed us why they could not be the case. So now the Gemara attempts another case, perhaps being a better example of Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter. The Lisni asked the Gemara, why doesn't our Mishnah mention a case of Maid Rabbi Yeshua? Rabbi Yeshua would agree, Baimel Chavera Manil Visimcha, I borrowed $100 from you, or Paratilcha, and I paid it back. Shuneman, that he would be trusted, because the halacha is Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter. You would have never known that I owed you the money. You never claimed that I owed you the money until I came and I told you that I owe it to you. Answers the Gemara. And like the Rishonim explain, why does the Gemara prefer this case over the case that we have in our Mishnah? Say to Rishonim, in the case of our Mishnah, I'm speaking to you about a field that your father owned. Here, the case that the Gemara is suggesting should have been mentioned, I'm speaking to you about your own field, about your own money, and still Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter should give me the namanas to be believed. Answers the Gemara, Mishum de Kabbalah Misni Sefer. Since the next part of the Mishnah was, Im Yesh Eidim Shalavim Menu, what would be the halacha in the case of our Mishnah? That if Eidim were able to independently say that this field belonged to your father, then I don't have a Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter anymore. In this case, if Eidim were able to independently say that I borrowed money from you, and I still say parativ, that I paid back that loan, ain't a neman. If we follow the reasoning of the Mishnah, once there were Eidim, I'm not trusted. But that's not true, says the Mishnah. Because Kaimelon, the halach is, Hamavas Chaveri Be'Eidim, ain't Tzarech Lefara Be'Eidim. That if I borrow money from you, even if there are Eidim when I borrow the money, I don't have to pay it back. So let's go through the Mishnah. Let's say the Mishnah would have taught us that Eidim, they're able to independently corroborate that I borrowed money from you. Even if afterwards I say, yeah, you don't need me to tell you I borrowed the money, but I paid you back, I would be believed anyway. Because the fact that there were no Eidim, the fact that I have no Eidim to tell you, to corroborate that I paid back the loan doesn't make a difference because the halacha is hamavas chaver be'edim and it's tzarech lefara be'edim, you don't have to pay back with edim. So since the Mishnah wouldn't work through all the way with such a case, that's why this couldn't be the case that the Mishnah chose. And Tosfos points out a number of very interesting and cogent points. Number one, Tosfos says, according to the mandam that says hamavas chaver be'edim, tzarech lefara be'edim, that you do have to have edim, it would make a difference that if I borrowed money with Eidim, I don't have Eidim that I pay back, then I would have to pay you. So Taish says, why didn't the Mishnah, according to Raman the Omer, speak about this case? Says the Mishnah didn't want to get involved with a machloikis. Taish also says, going back to the beginning of the shir, why didn't the Gemara say that the Mishnah taught us specifically this case about the field and the father's field? Because as we learned in the previous staff, we learned certain very significant halachas regarding chazaka, and that's what the Mishnah need to mention that case for. So Tosfos answers to that too, that the purpose of Masechta Ksubos is not to teach us hilchas chazakas. That we'll learn in Mitzvah Masechta Baba Basra. So to say that that's the purpose that the Mishnah chose to speak about this case really doesn't make sense. The third question Tosfos asks is that there is a case that everybody would agree could be a good case of the Mishnah. Let's say I borrowed money from you with Eidim, and I agreed, and certainly such a deal is very likely to happen, that when I pay back the money, there have to be witnesses that see me pay you back. Their halach would be as follows. If I came and I said, I owe you money, and you have no recollection, and I say pay back, peshas peshet. But if Adam come and say, yes, I borrowed money from you, and you agreed you would only pay back with Adam, and I don't have Adam that could say that they saw me pay back, I would have to pay. So we have a perfect case for the Mishnah. So Taisha says it would be a great case for the Mishnah. That's very, very complicated. You have to add that you had Adam and you made all these stipulations. That's why the Mishnah didn't choose that as a case. The Mefarshim also discuss that there's another case that the Gemara could have given. The halacha is, ha-goizel es chaveri be-Adam. If I steal from you, and there are Adam see me steal from you, tzarech lefar be-Adam. I have to pay back with Adam there. So why couldn't the Mishnah have said that the case? That if I came and I said I stole from you and I returned the item I stole, unbelieved, peshas peshahiter, but if there are Adam that saw me steal, I'm not believed unless I could prove that I paid you independently. So in fact, some of Farshim want to say, from here we see that the halacha is that just like hamalvas chaver be'edim, ain't tzaruch lefar be'edim, similarly hamalvas chaver, havgoizas chaver be'edim, ain't tzaruch lefar be'edim. But there are many Farshim that don't want to agree with that, and they suggest that the Mishnah here is not going to speak about a case of a goizel chaver be'edim, because it's a milsad lo shchicha, that I'm going to steal and have witnesses watch me steal. Another pshat is, our Mishnah is speaking about mominus, financial relationships. Once we start speaking about a case of gzela, it's not just financial. There's also isser, you're not allowed to steal. And the arsameach and the aflaw both say another good pshat. What are we saying? That if somebody comes in and says, a goizel chaver, I say I stole from you. What, and we want, the question is, am I believed when I say I paid you back or not? If I'm a gazlan, especially if there are Adam that I'm a gazlan, I have no nemanus, I can't be trusted. So I have no peshas or peshahiter. So it's obviously not related to our Mishnah. From here, the Paiskim do stress how important it is when borrowing money to have either a shtar, a document, a loan document. In fact, I saw that the Paiskim, already the Ritva discusses this, and the Steichemet discusses this, and the Tzitz Eliezer discusses it, how it's wrong, and it can lead to serious problems, halachic problems, to borrow money without a shtar. And the Ritva, Rishon, already mentions he doesn't understand why people just lend money without a shtar, without Adim. He says at least there should be a document indicating that there was a loan. Otherwise, as we just saw, it could only lead two problems. Velisni asked the Gemara, there's another case that the Mishnah could have mentioned. Maidra b'shuba oim l'chaveri, if somebody tells his colleague, mona l'avich b'yodi, I borrowed $100 from your father, v'chaltiv pras, but I paid back $50, and I still owe $50, shu neman, pesha asa pesha hitter. I didn't have to say it, and by me saying it, I should be believed. So before we begin the rest of the shiur, we have to remember that the Torah, and we're going to discuss the why to this at the bottom of the Yomid, tells us as follows. If you come to me and say you owe me money, and I deny, I don't owe you anything. So midaraisa, I don't have to pay. Matzim chaver al varaya, I'm potter. Midarabanan, there's a requirement to make a shuur's heses. But midaraisa, there's no obligation at all. However, moidim mixes. If I say, yes, I borrowed from you $100, I paid back $50 and I owe you $50, via midaraisa, moidim mixes has to make a shvur. Says the Gemara, however, if the case would be where I initiated the conversation with you by saying to you that I owed your father money, I paid back half and I owe the other half, then I'm believed, peshasa peshita. Says the Gemara, aliva the man. This case would not be consistent with any of the opinions that discuss Moedim and Mitzvahs. Because Elivet Rabbanon, Hamra Meish Ravedahu. According to Rabbanon, the Rabbanon hold that even in a case where somebody approached me as we've been explaining, our Mishnah is referring to a case where I initiated the conversation. But Rabbi Yeshua says that even if you came to me and said to me, you know, you owe my father money, and I say pay back half and then pay back half, that I don't have to swear. Because since it's not the person himself who I borrowed the money from, I'm considered like a Meshav Aveda. A Meshav Aveda is that really you have no right to claim this money, because you never lent me the money. So whatever I give you is money that you found. It's like found money. E Levi Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he holds that even if I initiated the dialogue, and I came to you and I said I owed your father money, I paid him half and owe him half, Rabbi Elazar says I would still need to make a shvuah. The Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Parm Shadam Nishba Tainas Atzmai. A person by his own made his own admission, and he still has to make a shvuah. Kate said, what is the case? If I approach you and I say, Mano Avicha Biyodi, I owed your father $100, the Chalta Pras, and I paid back half, and I owe the other half, Hareza Nishba. I still have to make a shvuah of a Moedim Mixus. And says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, this is a situation of Zeo Nishba Tainas Atzmai. The Chama Imrim, En El Kamesh Vavoida, a Potter. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, there is no Peshas Peshitter, because by me making this comment, I still have to make a shvuah. And according to Rabbanon, even if you began a claim against me saying I owe your father money, I still don't have to make a shvuah. So since, according to both the Chacham and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, there is no situation, a Peshas, a Peshitter, and that's why it's not mentioned in the Mishnah. The Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The Chachamim hold that under all circumstances, I don't have to swear if I'm saying to you that I owed your father money, paid back partial, and still own what? Partial. Why? Because it's considered like a Meshav Aveda. What is the case of a Meshav Aveda? The Gemara in Masech de Shavuos discusses a Meshav Aveda. A Meshav Aveda is one that, let's say I found your wallet in the street, and I come to you, I tell you, I found your wallet, here it is. You open up your wallet, and you count $500 in your wallet. And you say to me, I had $1,000 in the wallet. So I say to you, this is what I found. So I said, okay, you're a Moed of a Mixus, you have to swear. Because, so what's going to happen? Nobody's ever going to return anything. If that's the price of returning something, I'll leave it on the floor. So Chazal said, because of that, it's machloikas rishonim is a midoraisim and rabbonim, that somebody that returns something doesn't have to make a shvuah. Say to rabbonim, the same thing here. When I come to you, you have no way of knowing what was the circumstances with your father's finances, and I'm being, so to speak, a nice person and admitting that I owe your father some money, I'm a meshav aveda, I shouldn't have to swear. I actually saw a very interesting shaila. There was someone who fell ill, and they called paramedics to revive him, to take care of him. And they came, and they Baruch Hashem took care of him. And after he gets well, he says, I had on the table in my room a gold watch, and the gold watch is missing. He says, and the only person I know that was in the house from when that watch was here last with a paramedic, was the paramedic, he should have to swear that he didn't steal from me. The paramedic says, I came to do a mitzvah. Exactly the svar of our Gemara. I came to do a mitzvah. I came to be a Meshav Aveda. And that's the price that I'm going to have to pay, that I'm going to have to swear. You're preventing me from ever wanting to go on a Hatzalah call. What's the din? So I saw from Yitzhak Zilberstein, he says, you can't compare it to the case of the wallet. In the case of the wallet, there's one wallet. So if I say to you, I return the wallet, if I'm going to have to be, so to speak, hassled with a shvua, I'll never return a wallet again. Here, the Hatzalah and the watch are not connected one to the other. And therefore, he says that I could, that the sick person could force the paramedic to make a shvua that he didn't take that watch. Ask the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is very difficult to understand. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we're learning now that if I come to you and I totally on my own initiative and say to you, I owed your father money, I paid part of it, I didn't pay part of it, I'm going to have to make a shvuah. Ask the Gemara, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Lesley Meisha Vavei the Potter. But there's a Gevalda Gesvara to make me Potter. Why should I have to pay if I did a good deed? And in fact, as I mentioned a moment ago, it's a Machlokes Rishonim, how far we take this concept of Meisha Vaveda. Some Rishonim say it's Midrabonim. Others say that it's a Svara, and it's such a good Svara, that anything that's a good Svara has the same level as a Doraisa. And therefore, why does Rav Elazar ben Yaakov say that I would have to make a Shvuah? Amr Rav says Rav at Tain Katan. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is not referring to a case where I initiated this. If I initiated this, there is no question that I would be Potter from a Shvua. The person that came to me was a child, and he said to me, you owe my father money, and that's how this conversation began. And it's not that I came on my own free will. So it's not similar to Meshav Aveda. Ask the Gemara, if a cotton comes with a claim, does it have any validity in halacha? One doesn't have to respond with a shvua to a cotton and to a cher shaita, because the pasuk says ki yitein ish areyehu, only an intelligent person, not a cotton. And first question that the Rishon discusses, how could a cherish make a claim? He can't speak. So they say he makes the claim by writing. There's a machlokes Rishonim, how far a cotton does not have the ability to make me swear. All Rishonim agree that in the case of our Gemara, where cotton comes and says, I owe him money, I don't have to respond. What's going to be the halacha if a cotton says, a shvuah shomer, he says, you are watching something of mine and you damaged it or you lost it, whatever the situation is, the four different types of shomerim we learn in Parashas Mishpatim. Is a cotton also, are we mechuyev a shvuah to a cotton on a shvuah shomer or not? Machlokes Ravid and Rambam. So, Rambam seems to learn that the pasuk completely excludes the requirement ever to make a shvuah to a cotton. The Ravid seems to learn that shvuah we do make to a cotton. However, most Rishonim agree that a shvuah is heses, which is a shvuah midrabanan, one makes even to a cotton. So if the cotton is making the claim, why would I have to swear? Answers the Gemara, my cotton, gadol. It's not actually a cotton, it's an adult that's making the claim. So v'amai karli cotton, why are you calling him a cotton if it's really a gadol? The gavim mila da'aviv cotton hu. So the way the Gemara is explained currently is that there's an adult coming saying to me that you owed my father money. I in response say I paid partially and owe partially. According to the Chachamim, it's considered a Meshav Aveda, and according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, I make a Shvua. But ask the Gemara, if that's the case that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was referring to, then the wording doesn't make sense. Because the Brice that we had Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov saying his halacha says, Pam sh'odem nishbal tainas atzmai. Says the Gemara, Ihachi, why does the Brice call it tainas atzmai? Something that I admitted to. Tainas achermi. It's something that somebody else came to me with a claim. Says the Gemara, what the Braisa meant was, Tainas Acherim, somebody came to me, Vados Atzmai, and I admitted partially. Says the Gemara, that's not unique. Kula Tanasa, all situations of claims and counterclaims of Moida B'mixis are situations of Tainas Acherim, Vados Atzmai Ninhu. So that can't be shot in the Braisa. El Hocha, says the Gemara, and there's a big Machlokes Rashi in Tosfos. In the word Ella, there's a lot. The question is, how much is in it? According to Rashi, the Gemara retracts. And the Gemara says that the situation here is that it's a cotton that came to me with a claim on his father's assets. And the question is that considered that I'm answering to a cotton or not? According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it's considered that I'm not answering to a cotton. According to Rabbanan, it is considered that I'm answering to a cotton and I'm potter from a shvuah. Tosfos says that Rashi says that this word Ella has too much in it. One word to say all of that doesn't seem that the Gemara is saying that. So Tosfos says that the Gemara is still speaking about a case where the son, who was a gadol, initiated the claim. But it's not about his money. It's about money that was owed to his father. The Chum say, since it's not his own money, it's not a claim that he can make. And Rabbi Lez Ben Yaakov says, since it's a godel, it's a claim that he can make. I saw from the Birkei Shmuel from Rabbi Baruch Ber explains the machlokes of Rashi and Tosfos is how to view a cotton. Tosfos views a cotton as an individual who is completely excluded from the din of Shvuah. So it makes no difference what he says. If he's a cotton, he can't make someone else swear. And that's why Tosfos says the Gemara is referring to a godel that's speaking about his father's assets. Rashi, on the other hand, says there's nothing wrong with a cotton. The problem with a cotton is, what is his claim? If he's making a claim about something that is his, so there we say that the cotton can't really have clear das about assets that belong to him. If he's making it about his father's assets, that's not considered that you're working with a cotton. That's why Rashi learns differently. So the Gemara, what is the machlokes of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbanan? Alahach of the Rava Kamifki, Dama Rava, Menema Amritari Maid Mamixis Atani Yeshava. If we think about Rava's question, it's a gewaldige question. Rava asks, it doesn't make any sense. If you come to me and you say to me, I owe you money, and I deny it. So as I said before, midaraisa, I owe you nothing. If, on the other hand, you come to me and you say to me, I owe you money, and I say, I paid you partially and I owe you partially, so isn't that a proof that I'm a very honest person? There the Torah says, no, you have to make a shvuah. If we would think about it, we would say just the opposite. What's pshat and what the Torah told us? Says Rava, the pshat is because chazoka ein adam meis panah b'fnei bal chayva. A person, and we have here again a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos how to learn this. Rashi says like this. Here we have a person that did me a favor. I needed money, and he lent me money. Nobody has the chutzpah to say to him, I owe you nothing. So that's why I try to rationalize. And the Gemara is going to explain it a little more. And I say I owe you partially, and I don't owe you partially. Tosfos disagrees with that. Because Tosfos says, the halacha that a moed of a mixus has to make a shvua is not only by a loan. Moed of a mixus has to make a shvua also by a shomer. If I'm watching something, and I admit partial, and I don't admit partial, I have to make a shvua. There you didn't do me any favor, I did you a favor. So that's why Tosfos says, the chazaka of ein adam meis panav is a different chazaka. He says like this, I know you know the truth. I know that I owe you the money. A person doesn't have the chutzpah to say such a big lie, that I owe you the money, and to deny it completely. Therefore, the Torah says, v'hai v'kul boi delikfrei. I really, if I could, if I didn't have this shame, I would really deny owing you any money. V'hai delai kofalei, why didn't I deny it? V'shem de'ein adamei is panafu. I don't have the chutzpah. So now the question goes the other way. And before we go further, the Chasam Sofer tells us that these chazakas that the Gemara says, that ein adamei is panav, that person doesn't have a chutzpah, those chazakas don't exist anymore. People have plenty of chutzpah nowadays. So now, but we're going back to the time of the Gemara. Now the Gemara is saying that I'm a good person, and I don't really have the chutzpah to lie. So why don't I admit to the truth? Or be cool by delay. I really should admit that I owe you the money. So why don't I say the truth? I figure I'll be able to buy time. I don't have the funds to pay back the money I owe you. I figure like this, I could buy some time. And then I'll pay you up. So ask the Rishonim Davi's question. If we're referring to a person who's such a good person, and he really doesn't want to cheat anybody, so why do you make him swear? He really wants to pay, the Gemara says. Say to Rishonim, this is the way human nature works. At the beginning, a person is honest, and he wants to pay what he owes. But once he sees that he was able to get away with it, then he starts rationalizing, and he's going to not pay at all. That's why Rachmana Amma, that's why the Torah says, Ramish Shvu'alei, I should have to make a Shvu'ah, Keich Delevele B'Kulei. Because, and this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara, even though I'm not being that honest here, as the Gemara is describing this person, he's essentially a good person. And he wants to repay the person he borrowed from. He Nebuch doesn't have the money. But he's not going to make a full Shvu'ah. In fact, Rashi says from here we see, just because the person is a liar, it's not a proof that he's going to swear falsely. So when I'm put, so to speak, in the corner, and I have to make a shvua, I'm not going to make a false shvua, and I'll say the truth. Taisa says that we don't have to work with that lumdus. The person would try to say parative. He would say, I could have told you I paid you up all the way. But a person still, once he's put into the, because of his mayas, Taisa says what the Gemara's question is, if there's a chazaka, that a person is not going to have the chutzpah to lie, so why don't we say that he doesn't have the chutzpah to lie about half the money? About half the money he's going to lie. About the whole money he won't lie. About half the money he will lie. Says the Gemara, yes, people look for a way out. So to say a big lie, I owe you nothing, when it's totally not true, I wouldn't do that. But to say, to start making rationalization, that's the way people work. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds, it makes no difference if the claim is being initiated by the person who I borrowed the money from, or by his son, I'm not going to have the chutzpah to lie. It's not the situation of Meshav Aveda, and I have to make a shvur. Rabbanan Savri, Rabbanan the other hand hold, to say to the person who lent me the money, that did me a favor, as Rashi said, and now to lie to him, that I wouldn't do. Avo benoi meis. The son, I don't have any of that type of relationship with. Umidaloi heis. And if I was honest enough, so to speak, to tell you I owe partially, paid up partially, it must be Meshav Aveda who I'm saying the truth and I should not be subjected to a shvur. Here too we find the Machlaikis Rishonim, how wide is the Machlaikis between Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbanan. Some Rishonim say that only in a case where the son is approaching me and saying that I saw my father lend you money. So he doesn't really know exactly what happened, and he can't know for sure all of my dealings with his father. There, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbanan have their machlokes. But if the son says, it's not just that I saw, not just that I know from my father, I was actually participating in the loan, there the Rabbanan will agree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Another Rishonim just say just the opposite. If the son is just saying, I saw something, but he wasn't really involved, even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov will agree it's a situation of Meshav Aveda. Only in a case where the son says, I was mamish involved, then does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov say that the father and the son are treated the same way by Moedav Amixas. Our Mishnah, our Gemara begin now the sugyas, these are Shas sugyas, of Kiyum Shtaris. The halacha is, Midai Raisa, a shtar, most Rishonim learn, a shtar has validity. The Rambam seems to say that it's only Midrabanan, but most Rishonim disagree, and even the Rambam, the Mefarshim explained that the Rambam agrees that a shtar that's here to affect something, a get affects a divorce, a shtar kedushim affects a marriage, even the Rambam will hold, is valid with the Raisa. Otherwise, how could the first Mishnah Masechta Gedushin teach us that he should nikness with a shtar? But most Rishonim say that a shtar has validity midai Raisa. A document that's properly prepared has validity midai Raisa. And in fact, I saw from Chaim Brisker that it's even better than Edus. Because Edus, the halach is, has certain halachas. For example, Edus can only say the testimony by day. They can only say the testimony standing. Shtar is a shtar. If you have a shtar with two kosher edim signed, it's fine. However, there is a concept of kiyum shtaris. Kiyum shtaris means that we have a shtar come to Beis Din. It's a document. And the question is it a real document or not? Again, most Rishonim certainly agree that if we have a shtar that nobody said any issue over, midaraisa, there's no question that that shtar is 100% acceptable. Machloikis harishonim, if one of the parties, it generally will be the person owing the money, claims that the shtar is not a real shtar, is the requirement to do kiyum shtaris, to certify the shtar, at that point, achim midaraisa midrabonin. Again, most Rishonim seem to learn that it's a drabonin. We have a shtar, we assume that it's fine. So, Chazal said that kiyum shtaris should be certified. How are the shtaris certified? By certifying the signatures. The simplest way is if the Beis Din recognizes the signatures of the Eidim, or if they have another document that they could compare, that shtar was already certified, and they come and say, they compare the signatures. Or you can have a case where the Eidim themselves, who signed the shtar, come and say, these are our signatures. Or you could have a situation where other Eidim come and say that this shtar that was signed by Reuven and Shimon, we know that this is the signature of Reuven and Shimon. Says our Mishnah. So we have a shtar that was signed by Reuven and Shimon, and the shtar is not certified, and the Eidim come in and say, Shavu Deinuze, this is our signature. Avo Anus Mayinu, we were forced. As we're going to learn in the Gemara, there's two types of anusim. There's anusim machmas nefashis, they were threatened with their lives if they won't sign, or anusim machmas mammon, they were bribed. Ketanim hayinu, we were ketanim when we signed the shtar, and we know, as we just spoke in Amud Aleph, a katan is not a bar das. Psuli edus hayinu, we were psuli edus. And as we're going to learn, we're going to spend a lot of time in today's shir, and tomorrow's shir, mitzvah Hashem, about the concept of ein adam eis matzim rasha. So a person saying psuli edus, isn't he saying that he was a rasha? So Rashi is prepared for that kasha. And that's why Rashi says that the person is, when he says psuli edus, he's not saying that he was inherently disqualified. He's either saying that at that time he was related to one of the parties, and we know that Edom who are related to one of the parties are possible. Or Rashi says, the psul was mesachik bekuvya. He was a gambler. And as the Rishonim, the Ramban, already explains, the Gemara, throughout Shas, when it discusses the disqualification of a mesachik bekuvya, of a gambler, says this one of two reasons. Either because a person who gambles, a smachta lekanya, he's really not getting the money in a legal way, or ena oisik bi yeshuva shalaylam. A person who spends his days gambling is not really spending his days in a productive way. Rashi says the Ramban obviously holds that the psula masach bekuvya is not because he's a ganef, he got his money in an illegal manner. The psula of a masach bekuvya is that ena oisik bi yeshuva shalaylam. That again doesn't make me a rasha, and that's why these edim are allowed to say this. Harei el amonim. Why? Because we have a situation of a pesha asa, pesha hita. And without them certifying their signatures, we don't have a shtar. And here we find in the Achroinim a very fundamental shaila, how to understand our Mishnah. Some Rishonim say that when the Mishnah here says that harei elu namonim, what happens to the shtar? Some Rishonim say that it goes back to status quo. We have a shtar that's not certified. It can't be used to collect with. But on the other hand, we can't disqualify it. Especially if we bear in mind our introductory remarks that a shtar midaraisa, even without kiyum, is considered a good shtar. However, there are other achroinim that say a very bechidish, that a shtar until it's mekuyum is useless. It's not really considered a kosher shtar. And therefore, since this kiyum, there's a prevention, the kiyum is not happening. On the contrary, we have a peshas peshet to disqualify the shtar. Therefore, the shtar is torn up because it's a proof that the shtar is not good. However, says the Mishnah, v'miyesh edim shuksav yodam, but if we're not needed, if the witnesses are not needed to say that this is their signature, because as I said now in introductory remarks, Beis Din has another shtar, another certified shtar in their possession that they could compare the signatures with. So either there are witnesses that recognize these signatures. Ask Tosfos, even in this case, why can't the Eidim be believed when they say that they were posel Eidus with a migui? They could have said it was perua. They could have said, we could have said, yes, the shtar is a shtar, but we saw the loiva pay back the malva. And as we learned in the previous parak, whenever there's a migui, that gives them power to be believed. So why are they not believed? So Tosfos says, we never say migui with two edim. Tais says migui is said by one individual. One individual coming in and saying something, that's when we say migui. But we don't say migui to appear. Another Tais says is because it's migui b'makim edim. Here the shtar we're saying is a good shtar. That means that there are edim saying that the loiva owes the malva money. A migui is never said b'makim edim. And Tais also says a concept that we're going to learn in the Gemara, that the halach is that once witnesses say testimony, they don't get a second turn. If this shtar is a mekuyim, is a shtar mekuyim, and these eidim try to say it isn't, not to say, well, we could have been believed with a perua, with a migui of perua, that's a case of kivin shehigid, and kivin shehigid shuvayin achayzer magid. Am Rama Bechamas. Rama Bechamas says, lo shanu, when do we say that, this is the way the Rishayim explained the Gemara, that we need a pesha asa pesha hita, elish amra nusma hayinu makhlas mamin. Because these people did something wrong. They shouldn't have accepted a bribe. So by them coming and saying that we signed the shtar, we did something wrong, normally a person wouldn't be believed. Only because they have a pesha asa pesha hita are they believed. Aval, according to Rami Bachama's initial understanding, if they walked in and said, Anusim ha'yinu makhams nefashas, and as the halach is, people don't have to give up their lives for this, so then when I'm saying that they were under physical danger, and that's why they signed, harayel and amonim, even in a case where there are independent ways of being, of certifying the shtar. So Taisus again asks the same question. If according to Rami Bachama, when you're honest machmas nefashis, you're always believed. When you're honest machmas mammon, you're only believed if there are no edim when you have a pesha asar. Why can't we say that anybody who says honest machmas mammon has a migui that he could have said that he was honest machmas nefashis? So again, Taisa says, edim, we don't have migui when we deal with two edim. Another Taisa gives is that being honest Machmas Nefashis, that a person was told, if you won't sign the shtar, we'll kill you, is a milsad l'shchicha. It doesn't happen. And we don't say migui by milsad l'shchicha. Amalei Rava, so Rava says, how could that be? Even if the person walks in, according to Ramacham, we're understanding now, if a person walks in and says, I signed the shtar because I was under physical danger, he's believed under all circumstances. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Would he be believed under their circumstances? Isn't the halacha the kivin shehigid shuvayin achayzer magid? Once I said testimony, I don't have to get another chance. And here they're, so to speak, trying to get another chance. They signed, and now they're trying to change what they said. V'chi teima, and if you'll suggest, hani mila aped, if I came into Besdin and offered oral testimony, I cannot retract. If I signed the shtar, so I never really verbalized any testimony, this halacha doesn't apply. Says the Gemara, that's not true. Because the power of a shtar is it's as if the edim are talking to us. So how could I retract? So therefore, Ella says the Gemara, just the opposite. In the ratio where there's no one to certify the shtar, besides the Edom. So there we said that they believed because of Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter. On that, Rami Bachama says, Loi Shanu Elish Amru Anusma Yidam Achmas Nefashis. Aval Amru Anusma Yidam Achmas Mammon. If the Edom, who we so desperately need, because they're the only ones that could certify the Shtar, say that they were Anusma Achmas Mammon, then the Halach is Einam Onim. We don't believe them. Even though there's a situation of Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter. My Tama, Ain't other mace math from Russia. By saying that they were Nusa Machmas Mammon, they're saying that they were terrible people. That they did, they took money to sign a false document. And even though they have a Pesha Pesha Hitter, there's Ain't other mace math from Russia, and therefore they're not believed. The Rishonim, the Achroinim, ask one question, why don't we say Palgin and Debura? And we say that we should believe them that they were a Nusim, but not believe that it was Machmas Mammon. So the answer is that we don't usually apply Palgir and Debura where the testimony is so entwined one with each other. In other words, when somebody comes in and says, this man died, and I was the one that killed him. Gemara, we learned the Masechta Yevamos. So there the halacha is that these are really two separate testimonies. One is we're speaking about the status of this person, and one is who killed him. So you could separate the two. Here it's all connected. We're saying that the shtar is not a good shtar because the Edom weren't good Edom. So there we can't say Palgin and the Bura and separate the two clauses. And since by saying Anusim Achmas Maman, they're saying the Rishayim, and the Loch is Ein Odom Meisim Atzma Rasha, and that's why they're not believed even in a case of Pesha Asa Pesheta.